Maureen Callahan, who writes for the New York Post, wrote this interesting article about Monica Lewinsky. Mm-hmm. We talked about this a couple weeks ago, and you and I kind of went back and forth about who is really to blame for the whole situation. You played the power card. You know, Bill Clinton knew exactly what he was doing. I made the argument that she was 22 at the time. She knew what she was getting herself into. He was a married man. He was in a power position. She was one. And then we went into the whole groupie thing, where I'll see doctors and nurses and women who are so independent of themselves, and they get around Joe Elliott, and they're just like total idiots. They're like, oh.
Right.
And they're ripping their clothes off. I'm like, what about your three kids and your husband or not? Anyway, she said Monica Lewinsky is still one of them. Apparently not even producing your own story under the banner of Ryan Murphy, one of Hollywood's biggest showrunners, won't get you credibility, let alone sympathy. She still isn't over him, said a headline on the Drudge Report. This after Lewinsky went on the Today Show to promote the impeachment and American Crime story, which she is actually executive producer on. The headline linked to a story that quoted Lewinsky as saying she didn't need an apology from Bill Clinton, but he should want to apologize. Nothing shocking about that, though the headline had it all wrong. It painted Lewinsky in much the same light as the 1990s. Unstable, a stalker, hysterical female, all while Clinton continually escapes his Me Too reckoning. The last time he was asked whether he owed Lewinsky an apology, coincidentally on the Today Show, he could barely contain his fury. It was only 3 years ago. We knew about Cosby. We knew about Weinstein. We knew about Charlie Rose. We knew about Al Franken. All sorts of men who were liberal, feminist mask in public and were monsters to women in private life. It goes on to say that when he was asked the question, did you apologize to Monica Lewinsky? He said, yes. And they said,
she said no.
They said, you actually said you're sorry to Monica Lewinsky. He said, well, I apologize to everybody.
I'm sorry.
This is so guy. It's a pig.
No, but it's so Bill Clinton, right?
Oh, yeah. He said, I apologize to everybody. And they're like, what do you mean? He goes, I apologized in public to America. I said, I'm sorry. I should not have done that. But did you apologize to Monica Lewinsky? Oh, no, I didn't do that. No, but I did publicly apologize.
And she's American. So he apologized.
Meanwhile, Lewinsky's undateable, unhireable, a pariah. Meanwhile, the president who victimized her, one of the credibly accused of rape, never forget, allowed his wife and feckless loyalist to mount a nuts and sluts defense.
Oh, jeez.
You remember how crazy we thought she was?
I know. She's not so crazy.
Meanwhile, the Drudge Report, which broke the story in 1998 after Newsweek killed it, is perplexed yet disappointed by its reconsidered narrative. The headlines yesterday, the Disneyfication of impeachment, no cigar.
Oh, jeez.
Oh my God. And so this again brings up the point, are all guys pigs, in that you can make the question, this is where I got to back off my 9-year-old a little bit, because I joke about, you know, and she thinks it's great because she knows I'm protecting her.
Yeah.
I want to make sure you go out with the right guy. Well, I can't tell you.
Well, if you keep saying all guys are pigs, at some point too, she can ask you a question.
Are you a pig?
Are you a pig?
Or have you been a pig before? And so you look at this story, and again, what she had to put herself through, and she was part of it.
Yeah,
it could be 1%,
yeah.
Could be 50%.
Yeah.
She knew exactly what she was doing with the blue dress and the cigar, and she was with the most powerful man in the world, and she was willing to do anything for that. She was 22, he was 43, whatever. But again, you could pose the question as a female, why do you even want to go out with guys? And at what point do you make the distinction of, hey, listen, he is ghosting me, or he's using me for his power, or he doesn't really care? Because we go back to JFK, dude. Bill Clinton wasn't the first president that did it.
No.
There were plenty of other women who were used by presidents of the United States or presidents of their own powerful corporations, to the point where you want to be part of what they're all about. You want to be seen on their arm, regardless of whether they're single, married, or otherwise. And then at some point, you're a pawn. And you're no longer part of, and that's where guys are pigs, where they just, sorry, I got a dinner fundraiser tonight, can't make it, sorry. And next thing you know, you're on the outside looking in, and you're, I used to be with him. And you're like, sure you were, honey.
Yeah. Again, it's generation after generation after generation of men are at the top. I mean, look, we've talked about it. Women should, what was it? Not honor. What's the biblical thing? Women should succumb, submiss, be submissive.
Submit to their husbands.
I mean, look, we've been, and I think, so here's what I think the conflict is right now. Mm-hmm. On the one hand, you see, you know, there's more divorces. You have women in the workplace. You talked about women are not having children as young. There are women, more women moving up in into executive positions. And you have though still a generation of men who are, we talk about, incredibly threatened by that. Like they've never had to consider that before, right? It's well, wait, what are you, you're not even supposed to be in the workplace. Wait, yep. It's one thing to have you on their arm, have them on your arm. It's another thing when they're becoming your executive vice president.
Yeah.
Right? And so I think this is what the time will tell. And it is so generational because it has everything to do, all of this has everything to do, this is not genetic, this is not, I'm going to even go, this is not biblical in the way it's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
This has everything to do with learning generation to generation. So we've talked about this, you know, depending on your age and your circumstance, you came from either a generation where all dads worked and all moms didn't, mm-hmm. or you came from a generation where parents started getting divorced, or you came, and some of it's regional too, you came from a generation where maybe your mom, not only did she not work, but she took care as a man, she took care of all, as a child, young boy, took care of everything.
Yep.
She made you your breakfast every day. I had a friend of this man. He was 18 years old, and the mom was still packing his damn lunch.
Attaboy.
Yeah, and so what we learn, so that's what we learn. That's what women are for. And I can tell you the regional difference. When I moved here, there was a lot of things that I saw that I was like, wow. The number of stay-at-home moms, mm-hmm. number one. Number two, Southern men, even younger ones, who frankly were raised with mama taking care of everything. Absolutely everything. And so my point is, if you bring that upbringing and then you get to be an adult,
yep.
what's your expectation?
Could you imagine if the tables were turned and there were more women in powerful positions as opposed to men, and women treated men the way men treat women?
That's great.
And I'll ask you the question. Have you ever been with a powerful woman?
Been with? With, like in the biblical sense?
Were you ever used?
Oh, used that way.
Sexually?
No. No. No, not used. No. I mean, this is the difference between you and me. I've led a pretty
No, I mean, I've been on the other side. I've been on the other side, and as a guy, I'm like, great, I just got a piece of ass, and now I don't have to do anything with it, but it hurts. It does hurt. There was a woman when I first got to town who,
careful now.
attractive, ran her own organization. I was doing some work for them outside the radio station and just was very forward.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew one of her friends, and I said, wow, she is really forward. And she goes, she gets what she wants. Yeah. She goes after something and she won't let go until she gets it. And I said, what happens then? And she goes, notch, she'll never talk to you again. And I was like, okay.
Right, because now you're.
Does she know who I am and what I do? And I was like 24, 25 years old. I was like, okay.
Yeah.
And so I played along. And next thing,
it was dumped.
I mean, yeah. And I was giving her everything I got. I was giving her radio time. I was figuring out a way to talk about an organization.
Yes.
And then it happened again.
Oh, geez.
With the owners of the Birmingham Fire. I'll just tell you. I was the PA announcer for the Birmingham Fire, the World League of American Football, and it was the Malou family. And there was a member of the Malou family that was one of the owners, and I was totally enthralled with her power and was like, wow. And they owned everything. They owned the Sacramento Kings. They owned the Palms. And I was like, wow. And I knew exactly what Monica Lewinsky felt like from Manchester. I could not believe she wanted to be with me.
Exactly.
I was like, oh.
That's exactly.
And I'm quite certain, I wasn't married at the time, I'm quite certain that if I was married, I probably would have even entertained the idea.
I
would have thought, because this is a once-in-a-lifetime shot, oh my gosh, the president of the United States, or in this particular case, the president of a major football team wants to be with me.
And you start telling yourself stories.
See,
this is why we talk about that power differential, because it makes you start telling stories, and particularly, doesn't sound like this was the case for you. What if you throw in there on top of all that, the closer I am to them, the better it will be for my career.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Even if it's not manipulative.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, I thought I could turn this because I was getting perks.
Yeah.
They were flying me around the country with my family.
But you see what I mean?
And I was like, this is great. And I knew what was going on, but I wasn't allowing that truth to come into my brain because I was like, she obviously likes me. We're spending time together. She's nice to me. She says things to me. She calls me.
Listen to you.
While she was dating offensive lineman on the football team.
Yes.
And I'm thinking, maybe I bring something to the table. Maybe she just don't like meatheads. Maybe she likes funny guys who are radio, blah, 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 blah. And it lasted about three months dropped me, ghosted me like a rock, wouldn't take my phone calls. It was over, and it just coincided with the off season, by the way. So I didn't see her 3 or 4 days a week like I was doing during the football season. Did it hurt? You know, I played it off as, oh, I got that. You know, it was good. There was plenty of other fish out there, but I'm talking about it.
Yes.
So I can see to some extent where the power card plays.
I mean, think about the Monica Lewinsky case. It is entirely possible. I do not know if this is the case, but it is entirely possible when you set that scenario up, because I see women get in this relationship, particularly when you know, they talk about if you're dating, if you're having an affair with a married person, you're a homewrecker. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yep.
I get that. But in the Monica Lewinsky case, and I've seen this before, you start playing these this internal dialogue, which is, oh my gosh, he loves me, or he mm-hmm. whatever. And then it's, I feel for him and he loves me. And I know this is bad. I know this is bad. And you sort of are in that situation. And then it evolves to, well, maybe he's unhappy in his relationship and I want to be there for him. And then the next one is, maybe he's so unhappy that he will leave his wife.
He's talking about her and we had another argument and I'm bringing something to the table.
That's exactly. And, mm-hmm. and we have to give people, you got to give people grace in that, because, man, when our emotions are going, and it's not just sex, when our emotions are going that way, we get incredibly illogical, irrational, because what we want is we want to feel good and we want to avoid feeling bad.
And it feels good to be wanted.
Absolutely. And so it's entirely
knowing that we're probably going to get dropped like a hot potato. Because
it's a probability, right?
There's a chance.
That's exactly it.
There's a chance, because when your friends are like, you know, you're going out with a married man. I know. Yes. I know I'm going out with a married man.
Yep.
But there's no way this could get it. Well, he says he's going to leave his wife. Okay, I love you, and I trust you, and I want to believe in you, and I hope this works out for you. But I'm just telling you, the risk versus reward. Because we also know that if a guy leaves his wife for you, then he'll probably leave you for another.
Yeah.
Depending on how he's doing it.
Yes.
The whole thing is we're going through a separation.
Yes.
Okay, well, are you still living together?
Yeah.
Because that's not really separation.
Well, but we know that these things are complicated. Yeah. We know these things are complicated. And that's what I always say.
And that's one of those things where you're like, okay, well, why don't you just wait till it's over and then move on?
Absolutely.
Well,
because
he may meet someone else.
We may meet someone else. Or yeah. We hear this all the time. I can't stand it.
Yeah.
I'm so connected to him. I can't stand it. The pull of infatuation, of love, if it's love, of connection, that pull is so strong, it's so intoxicating,
mm-hmm.
that when you say, okay, if it was meant to be, it was meant to be, give it time, stay away from him or stay away from her. And what you're basically, I mean, it's like, to be, to some degree, it's like an addict who doesn't have their drug. I got to sit here and wait, and it's right there. It's right there.
Are you surprised that we're still talking about Monica Lewinsky 23 years after the fact? I'm amazed. But to her credit, and again, she's doing an impeachment show.
And
I know she created some other things on her own, and I'm okay with that. But I would have never bought the Monica Lewinsky scent. Had she not been with Bill Clinton.
Right.
But you know what? She's taken advantage of a situation because she wasn't hireable and she was a pariah and people didn't. They thought she was just a piece of trash. And I believe by speaking with you that there was that power struggle and that she did something and she let her emotions get ahead of herself, but she did something she should not have done.
Absolutely.
I don't think for a second that she's the one that initiated the contact. I think Bill was the one that gave her the wink and, hey, come over here. And once that starts, again, it's like being with a rock and roller. Think about someone you Pick your person on your bucket list. If Jennifer Aniston walked in here right now, and I'm a married man, or you're a married man, and she's playing up to you, let's go have a cup of coffee, and it turns sexual, could you turn it off? We want to believe, I can't do this. I can't believe I had a chance to go with Jennifer Aniston, but I can't do it because it happens.
Well, but hang on, and then roll into it. For whatever reason, I'm working for her company.
Mm.
It's not so much anything, and that's the thing I think about the Monica Lewinsky case, right? She was an intern,
yeah,
right? She wasn't part of his staff or whatever. But think about, and the Weinstein's kind of the same thing. It's not so much you're enamored by the power and you fall for that, but it's also the, what will happen if I say no, right? What will mm-hmm. happen or if I reject or stop? And I know that there's a fine line between, you know, that and harassment and all those other stuff. But what starts playing in your head is, here is this man who is the most powerful man in the world. I am enamored with him. I do feel the attraction. He has put something in front of me that, not that, he's put something in front of me that maybe I wasn't prepared for. And in that minute, in that instance, the rational says, well, tell him no. I mean, God, he's married, blah, 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 blah. But in that minute, you're like, I can't, how am I going to say no?
And the thing that was so alluring about Bill Clinton, much unlike Donald Trump, who will walk into the room and tell you he's the most powerful man.
Oh, Bill Clinton
And he'll get some that way too. Bill Clinton came across as very, and I had a good friend of mine who was a news director who did not like Bill Clinton. It was after all this stuff went down. She got the opportunity to go to the White House as a journalist, and she's like, I get it. She's like, within 30 minutes of talking to him,
I was
in his lap. She goes, it was freaky how, because he had that twang a little bit. He was very unassuming. He didn't act like he was a president.
Absolutely.
And she's like, it was so attractive. He had such character and such charisma that she's like, I was putty in his hand.
JFK. JFK.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
And that's.
It's always a Southern boy, isn't it?
Yeah. Arkansas. No, JFK's not.
Well, but he had a little bit of it. Well, yeah, that's true.
No, that's true.
That's true. Yeah, no. But he didn't sound very presidential.
No. No, and the thing about
Jimmy Carter wasn't like that, was he?
But it's your upbringing.
Yeah.
Right? It's your, and that's the thing with Clinton, Carter, not JFK. I mean, his upbringing was not the same. Yeah. But this is the thing about Clinton. His dad was an alcoholic. He was raised incredibly poor. I don't know what the heck I was talking about this the other day. His portfolio of life allowed him to connect with more people.
Yeah.
I'm going to say it. Joe Biden is a good example of that. You know, he came and evolved in many different ways that potentially allow you to connect with a range of people. Donald Trump did it in a little bit of a different way.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, listen, the most attractive people, or the people that we find we're most drawn to, are the ones who are able to connect with us regardless of who we are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're like that.
Huh?
You're like that.
No, what are you talking about?
You are. You're more so than me. More so than me. You are one of those guys, people, who can engage with people easily, regardless of who they are.
Yeah.
Okay. You know who else is like that? My wife's like that.
Yeah.
I am not like that. I mean, I can do it, but I am definitely not as good as that. And those are the people who have the ability to connect with people in a real way, gives you an advantage in terms of friends and social. And if you're going to be devious and manipulative, you're in it.
Yeah.
You're in it because you have that ability.